Hello, this is Brianna, and welcome to episode number 73 of the Bits of Brin podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about a few things, the first of which is a benefit concert that I participated in. It was in the middle of October, I believe, and my friend, my mother, a few musicians from her work, and I, we all participated in this. Oh, and also a girl. Her name was Natalie. She plays a trumpet. And we all put together a big concert to raise some money. And we actually did this a year ago. We donated all the funds to Family Promise, which is an organization to help homeless families. And we made about $800 that night, I think, if I can remember properly. And so we did it again this year, and we were actually going to split the funds three ways. The choir was raising money for the church that we performed at, and then Natalie, she was raising money to pay for her tour to Europe with her orchestra. And my friend and I, his name is Jonathan, he and I were raising money for the Smile Train. And I don't know if you've heard of it before, it's a really wonderful charity that helps fund the surgeries for children all over the world with cleft lips and cleft palates. And so we really wanted to donate to that and help make a difference. And our performance, we did three numbers, and then he also played a few on the piano. The three that we did together, the first one was Vivo Pelle, which is a wonderful Italian number between Andrea Bocelli and someone else that I can't really remember her name right now. I'm going to put it in the show notes. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I forgot it, but I'll definitely list it in the show notes so you can see that. And we also sang The Prayer, which is also by Andrea Bocelli and Celine Dion, and such a wonderful song. And we also, last, we did a song that we wrote together. It was a duet. And I'm actually going to have you listen to that later in the show. It's a song of the week. We performed it for our school talent show because we go to school together, and I recorded it for this podcast. But that night, over $3,000 was raised, and 754 of it went to Jonathan and I, and that is going to pay for the surgeries of three children somewhere in this world. I am so happy that we were able to raise so much. I mean, I wasn't expecting more than 200, and I got almost four times as much. It's just amazing. I just got a letter from the Smile Train. They were thanking us for our donation, and they're going to send us pictures of the children in a few months after the surgery's done. And, oh, I'm just really happy, because what I want to do in my life is make a difference through music. And because of this concert, I was able to do that. And now the lives of three children somewhere are just going to be changed forever. They're going to be able to speak properly, eat properly. I'm so happy I was able to contribute to that through music. I mean, that's just a dream come true. I'm so happy. Next up, I wanted to share an article with you. This is one that my father shared with me. He found it just this last week, and I wanted to talk to you about it because it's so amazing. I will give you the link in the enhanced version, and also I'll put it in the show notes in case you want to read it yourself. But the article talked about how there was no such thing as genius ability, pure genius, like famous prodigies like Mozart and Beethoven. It pulls apart and analyzes their success. And there was a test conducted at Berlin's Elite Academy of Music in 1994, and they took all the violinists, and they divided them into three groups. And the first group were the stars, and the students, they were the students with the potential to become world-class soloists. And then the second group were those judged merely to be good, and then the third were students who were unlikely to ever play professionally, but intended to be music teachers in the school system. And all the violinists were then asked the same question. Over the course of your career, ever since you first picked up the violin, how many hours have you practiced? And everyone from all three groups started playing around the same time, around 5 years old. And then in those first few years, everyone practiced pretty much the same, about 2 to 3 hours a week. But then around the age of 8, the real differences started to emerge, and the students who would then end up as the best began to practice more than everyone else. 6 hours a week by age 9, 8 hours by age 12, 16 by age 14, and up and up, and until by the age of 20, they were practicing well over 30 hours a week. By the age of 20, these elite performers had totaled 10,000 hours of practice over the course of their lives. The merely good students had totaled, by contrast, 8,000 hours, and then the future music students, just over 4,000 hours. And in the study, they didn't find any naturals, basically people who could be amazing without putting in the time. The study proved that practice made perfect. And in study after study of composers, basketball players, concert pianists, chess players, everything, this next thing is a quote by neurologist Daniel Levitin. He says, quote, "This number comes up again and again. 10,000 hours is equivalent to roughly 3 hours a day or 20 hours a week of practice for over 10 years. No one has yet found a case in which true world-class expertise was accomplished in less time. It seems that it takes the brain this long to assimilate all that it needs to know to achieve true mastery," unquote. And the article talks about Mozart and how he started writing concertos at age 6, just like so many start off with their instruments so young. But by the standards of mature composers, Mozart's early works are not outstanding. The earliest pieces were written down by his father, and perhaps improved in the process. But many of Mozart's childhood compositions, such as the first 7 of his concertos for piano and orchestra, are largely arrangements of works by other composers. And of those concertos that contain only music original to Mozart, the earliest that is now regarded as a masterwork was not composed until he was 21, and by that time, Mozart had already been composing for 10 years. So this is a magic number. It's like a formula for success. And so, I was really fascinated, and so I calculated how much time I've put into my music. I sat down with my parents, and they helped me figure out how many hours, roughly, I've been singing throughout my life. We came up with a number. It's really rough, about 4,500 hours. I've been singing since I was 2, and I've been doing singing practice, voice lessons, everything like that. So I'm about halfway there to this magic number, as far as my singing is concerned. And then my guitar, in very stark contrast, I started it just 3.5 years ago. Oh, less than that. I started it just 3 years ago, and I had an episode on the podcast a long time ago. It was my first time playing the guitar on the podcast, and I tried to play a C chord, and it was the most hideous, ugly sound ever. And we figured out, since I started, I've been playing the guitar for about 450 hours, which is such a small number. And basically where I'm going with this is I have a problem of comparing myself to masters. And this article really shows me how stupid that is, because they have thousands of hours of practice over me, yet I am expecting myself to be amazing when it is impossible for any human being to do that. And I just hold myself to such impossible standards. And I really need to work on that. I mean, I compare to myself to my guitar teachers and everyone around me that, and I've only been playing for 450 hours, but I expect myself to be like Sean Watkins, who's like amazing on the guitar. But he's been doing that since he was 5. I mean, he had thousands of hours on me before I was even born, yet I compare myself to him. Hold on, my cell's going off. Be quiet, please. Okay. So basically, I can't expect myself to be a master and beat myself up about it when I'm already doing the best that I possibly can. I mean, I need to just respect and admire these people and let it motivate me to practice more, because the only way I'm going to get good is by practice. So I'm really excited that I'm like halfway there to the 10,000 of singing. I have been doing lots of singing practice, and guitar I've been doing for at least an hour a day for a while. Sometimes I do 2 to 3, but it really all depends on how much time I have. But I'm just excited. I really hope that through all this practice and through time, I need to give myself time to get good, but I really hope that I'll be able to achieve true mastery one day. The song of the week, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, this is a song that I wrote with my friend Jonathan. This is the clip from our school talent show. We actually almost won. they were halfway through announcing us as the winners when they said, oh, whoops, never mind. And then we ended up losing to the parody boy band who lip synced to Tearing Up My Heart, which made me laugh. But this is the clip from the talent show. I hope that you'll enjoy it. The song is called I Won't Say a Word. Thank you so much for tuning into my podcast. As always, I really appreciate your subscribership, if that's a word. And I can't wait to show you a lot of the things that I'm working on. I've got a lot of surprises coming up. So stay subscribed, tell your friends. I've got a lot of really exciting projects on their way. So I hope that you'll enjoy the song, and I'll talk to you next time. Over and out.
So just come up and give them a warm welcome as well.
Lukewarm one.
But still. All right, you guys. This song that we're gonna sing is one that we wrote together. It is called "Won't Say a Word."
Yeah, that's great. Your